Praise God. So we're talking about you're worth it. You're worth it, part four, right? You say, Pastor, is this going to end? Yeah, no, but you're going to get it by the end of... It's not going to... No, it will end. You are going to get one major truth out of this, that you are worth it. You're valuable. You're precious. You are valuable.
Yes, you are.
You are valuable. And a lot of times, with the way our world kind of sees themselves and just how beat up people have felt over the last year, you know, maybe you don't feel that way. Well, I want to challenge you, even if this is the first message you've listened to in this series, I believe that God's going to minister to you. Would you put your faith out together? Let's believe together. Because there is something about believers hooking up in their faith together for the unction of the Holy Spirit to flow and to speak the way He needs to. So let's all hook up together. Let's agree that the Holy Ghost would speak today and that we would get what we've come for, and that's a word from heaven. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, that your word has great power to change us. Lord, that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide us into all truth and that we would receive all that you have for us this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this series, we've set the foundation that because you're worth it, because you're worth it, because of the worth He invested in you, you can receive spirit, soul, and body, whatever you need from Him. 3 John 2 says it this way, Beloved, I wish that you be in health and prosper even as your soul prospers. Isn't that good? God's will for us is prosperity in every part of our life, every arena of our life. His will for us is to have soul prosperity, spirit prosperity, physical prosperity, and that means physical in health. It also means He wants to touch your finances too. All right, so in this series, we saw that you have value and worth because of our Creator. We found out that we were created in His image, that He accepts us even in our brokenness, and the purchaser is the one who determines the value of an item because we are His purchased possessions. We found out on Valentine's Day that we're worth it to receive love. We found out last week that we're worth it to receive spiritual health and transformation. We took a look at Zacchaeus and his life and the process of what happened to him and how that relates to us. In Christ, I believe that God wants us to know that we're worth it. Just say it out loud. Say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Amen. We talked about what does it look like for a healthy spiritual believer. What does that look like? One who's growing in the Lord. One who's growing in prayer. One who's growing in Christian connection. One who's sharing their faith with others. That's a good kind of like a spiritual self-checkup, if you will. You go to the doctor for a checkup. Sometimes you need to go and check yourself out spiritually. You know, one who's growing and through the Word, one who's growing in prayer, one who's growing in Christian connection. That means your relationships one with another. That means your connection to church, your connection to the body of believers, and one who is sharing their vibrant faith with others. You don't have to wait until feel like, okay, I've been a Christian for 5 years, now I can share my faith. No, you can share what Jesus did with you right away. We saw that in Zacchaeus' life, that he had an immediate transformation. Today, let's take a look at how you can receive spiritual prosperity. You can receive in your soul, soulish prosperity. That's what I'm calling it today. Soulish prosperity. You can receive soul prosperity, to make it a little simpler, instead of soulish, because your autocorrect will not know what to do with soulish if you're taking digital notes. You can receive soul prosperity. Prosperity in your soul. In fact, that verse that we looked at, 3 John 2, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things, be in health, just as your soul prospers. Well, you know, when he said that, when John said that, He wished that our soul would prosper. But before we go on into this soul prosperity subject that I want to talk to you today about, we need to ask ourselves, what is the soul? What is the soul? Well, it's from a Greek word. It means psuche. It's meaning the mind, the will, and the intellect, or the mind, the will, the intellect, and emotions. I like to put it this way. It is the mind, the will, and emotions. Three parts, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We're going to kind of center in on each one of those today and what that process looks like. So in our soulish realm, you say, Pastor, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our mind, right, what we're thinking. Our will, what we want, what we desire. What's our vision in life, right? What is it that you see on the horizon for your life? Now more than ever, we need soul prosperity. Now more than ever. In 2019, listen to this statistic, 2019, 1 in 10 adults had substantial mental health problems in their lives. 1 in 10 adults. In 2020, that number went to 4 in 10 because of the pressure that COVID-19 compounded in our lives. So it went up by 30%. 30% mental health issues are something that we don't talk about much in the church. Let's be honest. That's the elephant in the room. We don't talk about mental health. But God has a key to mental health. And it is through our spiritual health, He can give you mental prosperity, soulish prosperity. It's okay. You know, and in fact, Paul put it this way. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 gives us a good picture of soul prosperity in the way that he wrote to the Philippian church. Look what it says in verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. It says this, Rejoice in the Lord always. Does that mean in a pandemic, by the way? Okay. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. How many know that there's a lot of people out there who need some peace? The peace of God, which passes understanding. It goes beyond mental gymnastics. Will guard your heart. Woo. Guard your heart. You know, Proverbs tells us to guard our heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the wellspring of life. It's talking about our mental health here. He's talking about our soul prosperity right here. This is what he's talking about. He says, guard your heart with it will guard your heart, the peace of God. And he says this, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, sister, I added that. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, think about, ponder, ruminate, right, on these things. Woo! Listen, if that's not a recipe for soul prosperity, I don't know what is. He gives you the how-to right there. You don't have to have a self-help book. I'm not against self-help books. I'm reading one right now. Yes. It's actually quite good.
Yes.
Sometimes we need to dig a little deeper. Go a little farther. Reverend Kenneth E. Hagin who was Brother Hagin, known as Brother Hagin. Some people called him Dad Hagin. He was a father in the faith. That's why they used that term. All right. He would say, sometimes you just need to learn how to eat fish and spit out the bones. So sometimes we need to kind of take a look at what's out there to help our mental health, to help our thought process, to become more healthy in every way. I want my relationships to be more healthy. How about you? So maybe I need to learn how to communicate a little better, right? Maybe I need to learn how to get in touch with my feelings a little better. You know, sometimes we as Christians, we're afraid to make a mistake. I'm just going to be really bluntly honest. I've been a Christian for over 40 years. Sometimes we're afraid, oh no, I might make a mistake, right? Am I allowed to feel that? Listen, God gave you emotions and gave you reasoning and gave you the opportunity to feel, to add spice and color to life. Can you imagine if we didn't have the ability to laugh? Wouldn't that be horrible? Laughing is such a good medicine. The Word of God tells us. Listen, all of these things are mentioned in the Word of God. You'll hear some guy with a bunch of degrees out by his name and before his name or before her name or after. You'll see all these degrees and they talk about, well, a recent study said if we laugh more, we'll be more healthy. And you're thinking, did you read the book? Because the book is 2,000 years old, told us that. The problem is that we're always trying to reason and think. We're always trying to come up with an answer. Again, I'm not saying we can't learn from some of those people. We can. I have recently, in certain areas of my life where I've had to dig a little deeper. Say, dig a little deeper. Say, you're worth it. See, you're worth it to dig a little deeper. All of us have had issues in our lives where we've not felt quite right. Right? Because guess what? We're not. Remember what we said in the beginning of this series, that He accepts us even in our brokenness? And He's the one who determines the purchase price. You are worth it. You are worth it. Psalm 62:8 says it this way. Trust in Him at all times, you people. I like that translation. It's a little bit edgy. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart. Listen to this. Before Him. God is a refuge for us. Pour out your heart before Him. What does that look like? Sometimes that looks really raw. A little bit edgy, and we're faith people. I don't want to say that because it might be a negative confession. Listen, I believe in the power of our words. We should speak positive, life-filled words. But if you are hurting, I'm not saying you blab it with a megaphone to everybody in the world, but find a few people who can come alongside, who are a little stronger than you in that area, and say, come on, let's go. You know who they are, because they're not going to let you stay in the pit.
That's good.
But it's okay to be vulnerable. One of the people who've taught me that the most in our Word of Faith circles is Pastor Sam Smucker. Pastor Sam Smucker will be very real with you. He will be real about some of the own hurt and pain that has been in his life. Because it's been there. All of us have had stuff. Say stuff. But say you're worth it. You see, we're all in this fallen world passing through. And it's not always easy. It's not. You know, I started thinking about the fact that we all go through storms, right? We all go through storms. And just out of curiosity, you know, I don't know if it was an ADD moment or what, but I looked up. You all have them, so don't look at me in that tone of voice, okay? Especially, I mean, this day and age, you know, never mind. All right, here we go. Stay on track, Doug, stay on track. Don't demonstrate, right. But, you know, I just started thinking, I said, what is the longest storm on record? So I kind of looked that up. I found out there was a hurricane not too long ago, within the last 30 years, that actually lasted 31 days in the Pacific Ocean. It's the longest storm that stayed together. It was a typhoon, like a hurricane/typhoon. In the Pacific Ocean, it stayed as a storm for 31 days. It didn't hit the same place 31 days, but it basically held together as a storm for 31 days. And then I thought, I wonder what the worst blizzard was ever. And so that we had in recorded history. So I kind of looked that one up. You know, Google can be a pit. If you're not careful, right? So anyway, so I looked up how long that was. And it was actually in the Northeast. It was in the 1800s. And it lasted for something like, I think it was like 4 days. And it dumped feet of snow in New York. All the way up to Maine. Some places it buried the houses in snow. And I thought, wow, that's a storm. But guess what? The storm ended. See, some of us go through storms, and some of them, they feel like they've been going for a long time. This pandemic has felt really long. The pandemic that happened in the early 1900s lasted around 18 months. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. I'm believing God that things are going to come back to normal. It'll be a new normal, as they say, whatever. But I'm believing God that we're going to be better than we were before. Better than we were before. You know, I start thinking about, you know, the fact that with the stats, 1 in 10 in 2019 had some issues in their soulish realm. Adults. And now 4 in 10 in 2020. Now we're rolling into 2021, and things didn't look that much better in 2021, did they? Right? But listen to what the Word says in Psalm 62:8. Again, trust in Him at all times. Does that mean now? Does that mean now?
Yes.
You people, pour out your heart before Him. Involve the Lord. And then turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The Psalms are filled with soulish feelings. Because, guess what? David involved the Lord in his mental health. David actually poured his heart out to the Lord and would often just ruminate and talk about his feelings. And in the end, he would talk to himself and pull himself right out of the pit. Look what it says in Psalm 37. Commit your way, starting in verse 3. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as light. And, I'm sorry, verse 5, sorry. I thought that was 3. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Don't fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Look at what it says here. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Did you get that? Don't fret. Don't worry. It only causes harm. And, you know, we as Christians, as I said, sometimes we get locked in a box and we feel like we can't have emotions. I found a quote from a famous Christian writer, A.W. Tozer. I want to read it to you because I think it illustrates this issue very much. He said, "Feeling, then, is not the degenerate son of unbelief." That is often painted by some Bible teachers. Our ability to feel is one of the marks of divine origin. We need not be ashamed of either tears or laughter. The Christian Stoic who has crushed his feelings is only 2/3 of a man. An important third part has been repudiated. Holy feeling had an important place in the life of our Lord. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised its shame. He pictured himself crying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." The work of the Holy Spirit is, among other things, to rescue the redeemed man's emotions. To restring, I love this, to restring his heart and open again the wells of sacred joy which have been stopped up by sin. See, soulish development, developing your soulish realm for soul prosperity, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor of almost 20 years, I kind of got checked by the Holy Ghost. What do you mean? I got corrected. Because as I started diving more and more in this particular part of your Worth It series, I started saying, I've never taught on this. I've never shared the importance. I've talked about who you are in Christ, right? I've talked about your confession a lot. You should talk good words. Use your mouth for faith. I've talked about faith, standing and believing. I've talked about the importance of the Word of God. But have I taught you about soul prosperity? That God wants your soul prosperous. Full, abundant supply of joy and laughter. You see, soulless development is valuable. But, you know, our self-image and our confidence issues, they're all attached to so many things in our world right now. And social media has made it a nightmare. I want to just declare this over you. This is not a point in the sermon. But as I was praying this morning, this is what I really... Be released from the damage of comparing your life to Facebook. Be released from the damage of comparing your life to Facebook. Everybody, listen, I know I'm using Facebook right now. Right? And we're only going to try to put our best foot forward. Only let people see what we want to see. It's time to take control of your soulish prosperity. 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. You know it, but we're going to go there anyway. 2 Timothy 1:7. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and what? A sound mind. You know, I was reminded of, you know, I know some of the young people, they like to play video games, they like to play online games, and you know, those of us who are over 50, we used to have our own little games we used to play too. Mm-hmm. How many remember Space Invaders? Or Galactica. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Or Pac-Man. Or Mrs. Pac-Man. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Oh, you remember these? Okay. Yeah. Here's the challenge with us to get soulish prosperity as believers. There's so many thoughts that are running around. They're like the Space Invaders. And as Christians, sometimes we feel overwhelmed. Because the enemy is throwing thoughts at us. And we're shooting them. Okay, boom. Got that one. Got that one. Got that one. Remember the guy little used to back and forth, right? And then you'd shoot up. Poof, poof. Poof. Poof, poof, poof. Right? You remember that? I want to give you a visual, right? I want you to get a visual. You'll probably not, it'll be hard to unsee that now. But, you know, the word tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 how to handle some things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, there's a space invader game going on in your head. And sometimes it has to do with the negativity. And most of the time when we teach or when we mention this subject, it almost always has that negative connotation. I want to flip it around today, and I want to talk to you a little bit about the process of how we can achieve soulish prosperity in the positive. Okay? Billy Graham said this, some people accuse us of too much emotionalism. I say that we have too little. That is why we're losing church people to other interests. We need not only capture their minds, we've got to touch their hearts. We've got to make people feel their faith. You're worth it to receive soul prosperity. Here's the process. Check in with your thoughts. What are you feeling? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about, you know, and if you're like me, you know, sometimes you're easily distractible, right? And it's funny, I called a friend a couple weeks ago just to check on him. And he struggles with this idea. Him and his wife just loves him despite this idiosyncrasy, right? And he's talking to me and he says, oh, wait, hold on a minute. Somebody's at the door. So he put me on hold. True story. Put me on hold. I was on hold for 10 minutes. And I could hear the whole conversation. The neighbors came in. They're talking. Then I could hear the neighbors leave. I'm listening to the entire thing. Entire thing. I got the whole conversation. I got who's who. I mean, it's, you know, what's going on? Oh, hi! It was one of those, right? Well, you know, the husband, the wife, you know, the foyer, you know. And then all of a sudden, I heard the conversation between the husband and wife. Now I'm calling my friend, right? And then all of a sudden, the wife, leave it to the wife. The wife says, honey, were you on the phone with somebody? Oh my gosh. And he goes and runs and he grabs the phone. He goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, I said, don't worry, I get it. I get it. You know, we all have those idiosyncrasies, but we need to check in with our thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? And sometimes you are thinking uncomfortable thoughts, but what if you're thinking a positive thought? This is what I want to bring into you today. Processing this thought process of soulish or soul prosperity. If we're going to have soul prosperity, check in with your thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking about? You thinking about, hey, you know what? I'm kind of tired of that car breaking down on me all the time.
Come on.
You ever have those thoughts?
Oh, yes.
Okay, turn it around. Okay, all right. So check in with your will. Lord, I want a new car.
Amen.
Or a different car.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, new to you. Doesn't have to be brand new. I'm not... I mean, you got to find out what you want. I'm not telling you what to want. So now check in with your will. Check in with your will. And then check in with your feelings. Are you afraid about that? You know, are you afraid that maybe I don't have the money for that? Or maybe, you know, maybe just now's not the time because you don't know what the stock market, you don't know what this is going to do, you don't know what that, right? Check in with your feelings. How do you feel about that? Well, maybe you get to a point where your thought is, I am sick and tired of driving this car and letting it leave me on the side of the road. That actually happened to Pastor Christine and I not too long ago. We were driving our van to a minister's gathering that we were in charge of. for Christmas. And we get on the highway, and the van just started bucking like a Bronco. And we knew that it had problems. Our mechanic had told us it had problems.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm telling Christine, just drive. Just drive. She goes, I can't steer it. And I'm like, just drive. We got to get to the meeting. Just drive. Just drive. Right? But, you know, it got to the point where sometimes your thoughts will lead you to a decision. And it's like, I'm not doing this anymore.
That's right.
Not doing this anymore. Another time, recently, during the pandemic, we have been bound and determined that we don't want to use a credit card. That's just not something that we want to do. We've done it in the past and gotten ourselves into trouble. So we've just decided not going to do it. So lo and behold, these are thoughts. These are thoughts, like space invaders coming, right? Mm-hmm. So, no water in the house. Now, we had an emergency fund, and if you haven't ever done the Dave Ramsey debt solution, you get your $1,000 emergency fund. Get that going, right? We had it. We were all proud of ourselves because we had the $1,000 emergency fund. But that's all we had, right? And we had determined that we weren't going to use a credit card anymore. Then all of a sudden, they tell us that the people come from the well people, and they start pulling our well pump out, and they go, oh, your well pump is really old. In fact, it's really, really, really old. In fact, we're surprised this well pump is still working. Was still working. But it's shot now. It's done. You need a new one. And I'm like, how much does that cost? $2,500. Now what do you do? Here's the thought. Space invader just... Here's the thought. Christine and I stood on our front porch, our front step. We're sitting there. We're like, we had a moment. We had one of those moments. Wasn't an easy moment. Sometimes your thoughts are not easy. Sometimes they're uncomfortable. But we had already made a decision. By our will, did you hear me? I'm trying to get you to process things in a real world situation. It's one thing to talk about, and we will always talk about the goodness of God. We will always talk about that the Word of God works. But when the rubber meets the road, sometimes it's just hard.
Yes, that's right.
And we sat on the front porch while they pulled up our old well pump and told us, well, this should have gone out 10 years ago. Well, thank you. It doesn't help me now. So what do you do? Do you whip out the credit card? No. I said, no, let's not. We told the people, stop the work. Stop. Let me talk to your boss. And we actually called the company and I said, listen, I don't have $2,500. I've got $1,000. He says, why don't you use a credit card? I said, I don't want to use a credit card. Choo, choo, choo. I'm feeling blown up. No water in the house. So he said, I'll take $1,000 and I'll carry you for 6 months. I said, you got it. I paid it off early. I went in, I said, if I pay it off early, will you knock more off the bill? He said, yeah. And I walked in early, paid it off early, and God is good, and it's paid for.
Amen.
I want to tell you that sometimes this process of check in with your thoughts, check in with your will, check in with your feelings, it's not a bad thing to do. In fact, it's a great way to process the thoughts that are coming constantly to you. The enemy is constantly, he's pushing stuff to you. And, you know, are you going to get sick again? Are you going to get sick again? What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What's the economy going to do? What's my 401k going to do? What's the stock market going to do? Where's the next job coming from? Come on. It's just all going like this. Like this. Constantly at you. Constantly at you. Check in with your thoughts. But if you start to renew your mind by the way God thinks, you will have things to shoot back at the enemy's thoughts. And you'll go, boom, boom. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I know I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I am going to get that job. I'm going to get the next job. It's going to be perfect for me. What are you doing? You're starting to hook your mouth up to what you need to hook your mouth up to. And what are you doing? You're connecting your mouth with your will. You're connecting your mouth with your will. I'm not doing this anymore. I know that when the Jacksons got a van, they had a similar situation. Their van was, Reverend Ennis was believing God every Sunday when he came here. Sometimes pulling over to the side of the road and pouring some kind of fluid in it just to get it here. And finally, one day, they finally said, we're not doing this anymore. Right? That enough's enough. Sometimes your thoughts need to kick over into the will. Enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Right? And you process, what are you thinking? Now your will kicks in, and there's something that happens when your will kicks in. Faith can come when you make a decision. Faith can come when you make a decision. And then the feels can come later. Right? See, I'm trying to get you to see this side of the mountain. Instead of the negative side all the time, I want you to see the positive side. The positive side was we made a decision, no more credit card. The enemy came with an attack, right? He came with an attack of our finances, you know? But we had already made some quality decisions ahead of time. We were thinking through it. Our will was, no, we're not doing it. We're not giving in. We're not giving in. We're not giving in. We're not giving in. And it was not easy to feel that way. And you know what? That pressure of knowing that I owed that man $1,500 made me figure out as quickly as possible, whatever we sell, whatever we do, I'm going to go get that money to him. Somehow, when it's a piece of plastic, there's no person involved. It's easier to just say, oh, well, and we give up. And we give up. Sometimes we feel like that space invader at the bottom. We feel like, oh, I got blown up again. But listen, just keep going, keep going. See, you are worth it. You are worth it. You see, as a believer, what do you do when those emotions that you have are caught in a rut of sadness, depression, anxiousness, thoughts, heartbreak, negative emotions? Psalm 42 gives us a beautiful example of how David kind of handled some of these thoughts. And so if you'll just go over to Psalm 42, I think that this will be a blessing to you, because we're going to see how David looked at his thoughts and what was going on, how he processed what I'm trying to tell you. All right, so in Psalm 42, we see a glimpse into David's life on what he did. He says, first of all, this kind of gives an indication that he loves God. In verse 1, it says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pant, my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. Then shall I come and appear before God. My tears have been my food day and night. This is how he's feeling, right? My, and then he goes on, while they continually say to me, where is your God? See, the enemy will taunt you with thoughts. You're going down. This one's going to get you. When that variant of the virus comes, it's going to get you. Some have probably already had that thought. I'm not giving it voice
to scare you. I'm giving it voice to tell you to shoot it down in Jesus' name. He says this, when they continually say to me, where's your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I used to go with the crowd. I went with them, right? I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O soul? What's he doing? He's thinking. He's ruminating. He says, why are you cast down? Now he's talking to himself. He's shooting down some of these things. Oh, come on. Some of you need this. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you so depressed and down and out? You're alive.
Yes.
God sustains you, as Pastor Christine was exhorting us as a church. Look what the Lord has done in the middle of this year. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I shall yet praise Him for my help. For the help of his countenance. Look at what he's saying here. God is speaking to us. He said, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Sometimes you have those feelings. Sometimes you do. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep, the noise of your waterfalls, your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say, now we're talking, we're opening our mouth. I will say to God my rock, I will say, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And see, he's still exploring it. He's still talking about it. He's still ruminating. Sometimes it's okay to be that gut level honest with God. It is not a negative confession. Because when you are immersed in the Word of God, you start thinking his thoughts. They will rise up here, down on the inside, down here, because that's where your spirit is. Your head is thinking all kinds of emotions. Remember? Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. What you're feeling, what you're thinking, what I want. But your spirit on the inside, if you've been feeding along the things of the Word of God, all of a sudden things will start to rise up on the inside of you. You'll start to say, wait a second. No, God's never forsaken me. He's always provided for me. He brought me out when everybody else said I was going down. He took me and he set me up when I was looking like I'm going to lose here. I'm going down. That's what it looks like on the outside. But let me tell you something. Renewing your mind. It's not always dealing with the negative emotions. Sometimes it's the positive things. Sometimes, hey, you know what? I'm done. I want a different car. Father, I thank you. You invite God into that situation. I thank you. I'm making a decision of my will to go in that direction. And you go in that direction. If it means saving money to do that, do it. I know that my wife and I have some projects we're believing God for, and some things that we're kind of hunkering down on and focusing in on for our family, for our future, believing God for some things. Well, what are we doing? We're focusing down on it, making some decisions. And part of that decision is no more credit. That's part of our decision. We're climbing out of the rut. What is it? It's a different way to think. We've made a will, a choice for a will. Is that an easy emotion? Not always. Because it means, guess what? You have to sometimes say no. What do you say no to? Going out to eat, sometimes. Sometimes it's saying no to that extra this or that extra that. Or, oh, it was on sale. It's saying no to that. It's saying yes to what my goal is, because I've already made a choice by my will.
So that's what I really, those three components, I wanted to explore those with you. You know, what are you thinking? Check in with your thoughts. Check in with your thoughts. What are you thinking? And if you don't know what you're thinking, explore that.
That's right.
Explore that. You know, check in with your will. What do I want in this situation?
Yes.
What do I want in this situation? I'm not trying to teach you selfishness.
Right.
I'm trying to teach you that you do have a voice. You can make a choice to change the direction and trajectory of your life. You can speak. You can open your mouth. And you have a will. Check in with your will. Check in with your feelings. How do you feel about that? Well, it might be a hard feeling. Might be a good feeling. What does it make you feel like when you see yourself not breaking down on the side of the road? Happy? Happy? Happy, right? Yeah. See, it's important. That renewing process. I've gone a really long time today. I'm so sorry. I have so much in my heart that soul prosperity is so, so important for us. Because as our soul prospers, so many other things can come into line. Your relationships. We need to remind ourselves that whatever you're facing, that God's a present help in time of need. You know, He is a present help in time of need. You know, the psalmist, he wrote in Psalm 61, and I'm just going to start to finish this up here. He says, "Hear my cry, O Lord," verse 1 through 4. Psalm 61. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I'll cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings." Receiving soul prosperity is a spiritual rest. And I want to encourage each one of you to do that. Explore that in your life. It might be uncomfortable when you first start out. It might be uncomfortable to actually say what your will is. It might be a little bit, some of you that have had to break away from unhealthy situations, it was uncomfortable. But now, as you're like that little space invader guy, you're kind of feeling a little better about it. Because you've made good choices. God wants to prosper your soul. And I believe that there is so much more in this, to unpack in this. And I believe the church world, by and large, and our church, need to explore mental health issues even more. Now listen to me. If you are dealing with a mental health issue, there is no condemnation. There is only help. There is only help. There is only love. There is only help to get you through that. If medication is part of that, then by all means, do it. You go to a doctor for that. But let me tell you something. You start out with Dr. Jesus, and He's never going to fail you. He's going to help you. And if you have to for a while, be a part of, you know, the medical, and they give you something, then that's fine too. Or counseling, good things. It's all good things. Over a course of 40 years of walking with the Lord, you know I have taken advantage of a counselor before. I have. No shame. It's okay. I've taken advantage of a counselor. Check in. It's okay. Sometimes you need somebody that's a professional to help you through those moments. It's okay to do that. Now, I do advise Christians to find Christian counselors. People that'll stay with the Word. People that'll not steer you wrong. But you got to do to keep your mental health balanced. God wants you to prosper in your soul. Let's finish with that verse in 3 John 2. 3 John 2,
Let's just look at it, and I want you to say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Say it out loud like you mean it. Say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
Say, I'm worth it.
I'm worth it.
To receive soul prosperity. That means a full supply. That means a full supply. All right. Third John 2. That was my opening scripture. 3 John 2. Beloved, that means you and me. That means you and me. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Your soul prosperity is important. You're worth it. He said so. We've got, next week we're going to finish this series up. We're going to talk about health. You're worth it to be healthy. It's okay. It's all right. Don't feel guilty. It's okay in your body. You can be healthy. You can. It's okay to focus and do what you need to do to take care of the tent. We're going to find out about that next week. All right. Let's pray. Hallelujah. If you're here today, let's go ahead and stand our feet right now. If you're here and if you're watching online, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been talking to believers here. I've been talking to Christians. But maybe you're not a Christian. Or maybe you've been away from the Lord. It's real easy to come back to Him. He is loving. He's forgiving. 1 John 1:9 says this, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sin before Him. It's just really simple to come back to Jesus. Believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins. Receive that forgiveness in your life. I'm not talking about church membership or confirmation. I'm talking about believing God for a relationship with Him. He loves you. He wants you to come back. He wants you to come home. If you're here or if you're watching online, you've never asked Jesus into your life. It doesn't have to be this formal, super rigid prayer. It just has to be from the heart. This is, Father, I believe you. I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He was raised from the dead and I received that forgiveness. That's all. That's all you have to do. If you need to come back to the Lord, you just need to say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I come back to you. I want to have a full relationship with you. It's real easy. You just, from your heart, reach out to God and pray a simple prayer. And God will meet you right where you are. Hallelujah. Let's just close with our sending out verse right now. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. You're worth it. God bless you.